There's one verse or part of a verse of scripture that was brought before me very early in my life. I suppose it was around the time when I was about 20 years of age. And it is found in Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6. The last part of verse 6 reads, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." God burned that into my soul in such a way that I could never get away from it, never shake loose from it. And it was used of God to do many things in my life in changing it, turning it around, because as most of you know, I was raised up in system. I was raised up in the place where the Holy Spirit is set aside, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that displace the Lord Jesus Christ in the systems of Christendom. And there are many methods and ways that displace the Holy Spirit in Christendom. And as I read through the scriptures and was translating them into the language of the Bayaka tribe in Africa, in the Congo, I would run across these scriptures continually, and I would see the working of the Spirit of God as set forth in the Word of God. And I began to wonder, and I became exercised, and I could begin to see that there were many things in the way missionary work was done that was really leaving out any thought of the Holy Spirit. My wife and I went to the Congo when we were 23. We'd only been married a year. We spent our first wedding anniversary in an abandoned jail on a riverside where we got off the riverboat. There was no other place to stay with a roof over our heads. And the little town that had been there was mostly abandoned. And the only place we could find to put up our camp cots was in that abandoned jail. But it was full of something else. It was full of fleas. And we had to fight the fleas all night. That is, in a way we began life in the Congo. Well, the tribe to which we went was far from there. We traveled by native caravan. I've lost count of the days that it took, but I believe it was about 25 days in all that it took by native caravan to get to that place where we found this tribe that had never heard the gospel. The other missionaries that we had encountered or met in that same mission that we were in, they said, "You've got to teach these people to read and write." And they were busy. They had large schools, 200 and 300 children going to school. But what did it do to the missionaries? It kept them from going out to where the people were. Kept them from going out there to preach the gospel. And I wondered about that kind of a statement, that we had to teach them to read in order for them to be saved. It didn't sound right to me. Would the advantage of reading really do that much for them to save their souls? It seemed to me that this was one substitute for relying upon God to work by His Spirit. True that the God can use the Word of God to save souls, but to teach children, it didn't seem to me that was the proper way. We ought to get out and preach the gospel. Well, for some time we were exercised about these things, but we felt that this verse meant something, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I wondered about it. I pondered it. Trying to do God's work in any other way, by any other means, or by any other power than by the power of the Spirit of God, I do not believe is of God. We are apt to succumb to other ways and means, substitutes for relying upon God to guide and direct and empower by His Spirit. This is what happened in Zechariah's day, and we find, as we look back into the book of Ezra, why the prophet Zechariah was saying these words. Over in Ezra, read about the time when there was a remnant of the children of Israel that came back from captivity in Babylon, and they came back to Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem was all broken down, the walls were all broken down, and the temple had been destroyed. There was nothing there. But this little remnant that came back, they set about to rebuild the temple. But there were enemies there, plenty of enemies. And in one way and another, they tried to discourage that little remnant. They did get the foundation laid, but then they got in touch with the king of the whole world at that time, and the king put a stop to it. Let's look at that in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 23. Now when the copy of the king Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius the king. The enemies were at work, and they got the work stopped. They're enemies today at work. And the enemies want to get the work of God stopped. We run into that all the time. And if we try any scheming of our own or any planning of our own, try to circumvent the enemies, it'll not amount to anything. Well, the work was stopped here, and that's when Zechariah and Haggai, two prophets, come on the scene to stir up the people. Any time that there's been failure in the history of man, God has sent a prophet. It happened time and again. There was failure in the days of Eli, and Samuel came on the scene to stir up the people. There was failure in the days of Ahab, married to Jezebel, and idolatry was rampant. The children of Israel had failed. God raised up Elijah the prophet. There was failure here for this little remnant. They weren't relying on God as they ought to. They were planning this and planning that and got nowhere. So it says here in Ezra chapter 5, then the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of God, of the God of Israel, even unto them. They prophesied. They stirred them up. They were encouraging them. And they were using this, that the prophecy of Zechariah. What Zechariah had said has been written down. And it's being said to Zerubbabel, the leader of the Jews at that time. Verse 6 of Zechariah 4, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zechariah the prophet was getting this word from the Lord, and he was to give it to Zerubbabel. And this is what he was to say to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. After Zechariah administered that to Zerubbabel, you see what happens there? Reading again in Ezra 5, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God, helping them. The prophets ministered to them, and they were helping them. They were right there alongside of them to encourage them. You didn't see that before. No, they were just doggedly going at the work, trying to get it done. But evidently in their own power, in their own might. Now that word might has in it the thought of an army as well. Perhaps they were using army. And I believe when we read about the building of the wall, those who were working had their sword beside them. But was that enough to have a sword, to have the might of an army? Was it enough to have human power and strength? It was not. If they were relying on that, that wasn't enough. And then the Lord worked it out, and you can read the rest of this chapter 5 of Ezra, and you see how the Spirit of God was at work, to work in the heart of the governor, to write a letter, to find out what to do, because these Jews, these that had come back from captivity, they were saying that Cyrus, the king, had ordered that this house should be built, and they didn't believe it. Those enemies there didn't believe it, but God worked it out by his Spirit that this man sent a letter and explained it all. And then Darius, we read in chapter 6, he made a search in the rolls about this that Cyrus had ordered, that the house of God should be built at Jerusalem, and they found it was just so. And those enemies, I'm sure, were shamefaced. And they had to turn away. They had to get away from there. And they were ordered that if they didn't help, their houses would be torn down to help build the house of the Lord. God was working by his Spirit, working through the prophets. And today, we have prophecy. We have plenty of prophecy in the New Testament. What is prophecy for? Well, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that it's for edification, for encouragement or comfort, and stirring up. Three things: to edify, to encourage, and to stir up. There was a brother this morning that was asking God, or telling God, we need to be awakened. We need an awakening. We do not realize how far along we are in this present period of time, the age of grace, the church age. I believe we're right at the close. And the enemy, just like these enemies, are working. And perhaps if you tried to name them, you'd have such a long list. You wouldn't have paper enough to write it down. The enemy is busy, and it seems that we do not detect it. These enemies in Ezra's time, they wanted to work with them. And Nehemiah had the same experience when he was building the wall. Come, let us work with you. Nehemiah had to say, oh no, because it was to the craftsmen in the plains of Ono that we found these men that wanted to seduce them and work with them. And Nehemiah had to say, oh no. I remember when Brother Eric Smith mentioned that one time. Don't forget that. Say, oh no, to the enemy. And yes, to the Lord Jesus Christ. This matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a tremendous subject. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to be under the control of the Spirit of God. Just like a person that's full of wine is under the control of that liquor, so the child of God should be exercised about being full of the Spirit, under the Spirit's control. This is the only safe way to go through this world. You wonder why the Apostle Paul had to write in that kind of language to Ephesus. Because at Ephesus, they were getting the highest truth there is in Scripture. But they needed to be warned about these things that control them. Don't get under the control of liquor, but be under the control of the Spirit. And you know, dear saints of God, and I'm speaking to both young people and old people, we all need this. We're living in dangerous days. And it's so easy for us to come under the control of the things of the flesh. And we get sort of chloroformed, drugged. And it makes me think of these drug addicts. When they're so drugged, they don't really realize what they're doing. And they have no discernment. And so we can get so drugged with the things of this world and the things that appeal to the flesh that we're not discerning. We lose the Lord's mind. We're not discerning His will. We're not discerning what the Scripture is telling us. Are we really exercised about this kind of thing? Are we really? We need to wake up. We certainly need to wake up. They had to wake up in Ezra's day. They had to wake up in Zechariah's day. And if you read in the prophet Haggai, you will find that those people that had come back from Babylon, just that little remnant, they were more interested in building their own houses than they were in finishing the church of God or the temple of God, the house of God. They were not interested in that anymore. And they were rebuked for it. And the prophet says, the Lord can't bless you if you forget the Lord's things. And so it is with us. We cannot be blessed of the Lord if we forget the Lord's things and we're looking after only our own things. All of this is in the Word of God to exercise our soul. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Is it a matter of living for the Lord? You can't do it by yourself. The Holy Spirit is our life. He's the power of that new life that's been given to us. He's our strength. Without Him, we can do nothing. And you know what the Holy Spirit is doing all the time? He is pointing to Christ. He is pointing to Christ. There are those that think they have to put themselves under law. That is not the Spirit of God pointing to Christ. It's the flesh pointing to itself. But the Holy Spirit will point to Christ. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime you find a verse of Scripture in the Word of God speaking of Christ, pointing to Christ, it has been indicted by the Holy Spirit. This book has been written by the Holy Spirit using the pen of man. Let's not forget that. It's the Word of God. It's been indicted by the Spirit of God. And every word of it is for us, for our souls. Paul speaks of that to Timothy. All of it is profitable. Oh, you say, but when I read the Old Testament, I can't understand it. You don't have to understand it all. Just open the pages of this book with a prayer to the Lord to guide by His Spirit to teach you, and you'll find something there every time you open the book. I don't care where it is. You can even find little tidbits in all of those chronologies. They're there. And it's a wonderful thing to find them there. What we need to do is expose ourselves more to this book, to read it more, and to spend more time in the presence of the Lord Jesus, because this is what the Spirit of God would guide us to read the Word, to meditate upon it, and to let Him teach us. And to look to the Lord Jesus as we're having this in our meeting, in our readings, and be in His presence more, because it's only as we're in His presence that the Spirit of God can transform us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important. I used to hear those things when I was young, and I thought, well, it's sort of boring to read the Scriptures all the time. But as I said, the Lord began to work, made me realize that there is importance in reading the Word. And as I was translating it, I began to realize how wonderful it is. Because when you translate, you've got to be going into the original language in which the Scripture was written. And it's marvelous. You cannot possibly get all the senses, all the little meanings into the English from the original Greek. But I'm thankful for our 1611 translation that was written in the best English there is. And I'm sorry for those who are seeking to depart from that translation. You say, well, we got to write it so people can understand it. See, there's another case where you're trying to introduce something to supplant the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has saved millions of souls by reading this book in this language, in this translation. It's not by might nor by power. It's not by changing the translation. No, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I'm warning those we're seeking to bring in things like that among us because it savors of division. Mark them which cause division. Doctrines contrary to sound doctrine. There are things today that really look dangerous. Sometimes it's like it's expressed. We're sitting on a powder keg. And if we don't humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, something's going to happen. But as I said before, God by His Spirit is pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as Savior, but as a center of gathering, as the head of the church, as the one from whom all real ministry comes down to us. Ministry is ministered to us. The Spirit of God pointing us to Christ. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Oh, the Spirit wants to keep us all together. Around the Lord Jesus Christ. Finding our unity in Him. And as we're devoted to Him, we'll be more devoted to one another. As we cleave to Him, We'll cleave to one another more. He is the center of that unity. And since he's the Holy Spirit, it's a holy unity. And since he's the Spirit of truth, it's a unity according to the truth. And may we, by his grace, by the power of the Spirit of God, really endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is today endeavoring to keep us all together. And we're fighting against it. We're doing things that are against that, that are opposite to it. And we need grace to judge ourselves. Oh, may God help us in these days. We're in the last days, brethren. And we don't dare to play around with the truth. We don't dare play church. We don't dare to do anything that's a counterfeit. We want to be true. We want to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be faithful to his word. Our soul's getting saved. It's only by the Spirit of God, not by might and by power, but by my Spirit. Leaving the teaching of children, we went from village to village in that tribe preaching the gospel. We were preaching the gospel to everybody. We'd learned the language in such a way that even the women could understand us. And the Spirit of God began to work. It was hard work. It was difficult. How are we going to make converts out of these who are idolaters? I had to come back to this, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Just crying to God that he'd use his word. And we saw adults, older people, women too, accepting Christ as Savior, giving up their idols, some of them even dying for their faith in Christ. When the Spirit of God begins to work, something's got to move. Something has to bend. And that's what happened. And some of them are still going on with the Lord over there. We tried to instruct them in being gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the best we knew, because we gave up system even when we were still over there, because we had seen so much of it in the Word of God. And we were writing about it in our newsletters. And here we got two booklets from a man in Washington State, that must have been going to a place where he found these booklets, because they were both by McIntosh. I'd never seen anything like this before. The one was on the assembly, and the other one was on the all-sufficiency of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That man was not a gathered soul. I believe he was in a Presbyterian place, but he was going to the assembly meetings in Walla Walla, and that's where he picked up these booklets. He liked to go there for the readings. And he sent them over, and when I read those booklets, there it was, just what the Lord had been showing us from his word. Young people, older people, this truth is in this book. Dig in it. You'll find it there. You'll find it there. It is there. We thank God that by his Spirit, God can teach any one of us. Doesn't make any difference who it is. And there are some today who profess to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been taught by the Spirit of God? Has the Spirit of God really revealed it to you? Have you really understood it in your own soul as really being in this book, not just listening to some older brother or some sister? Have you seen it for yourself? This is what's needed. This is what's needed. We don't need more dropouts. We're finding that there are those who are dropping out. My wife and I have had that sorrowful experience too, some in our family dropping out. It's sad. But we come to the conclusion that they'd not been taught by the Spirit of God. They have to learn it in their own souls. And if you don't learn it in your own soul, you'll not be cleaving to Christ. You'll not value the truth. May God help you just to get before the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I don't know what it really is to be gathered together to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, by thy Spirit, show me. Show me. Teach me. And you get into the Word and you'll see it. You'll find it there. Maybe not in one day, but diligently. Endure. That's part of this endurance race that we were speaking about this morning. You read two or three chapters in the Word of God and then you forget all about the Bible. That's not endurance. You read perhaps one book and then you quit. That's not endurance. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ and His endurance. He endured to the end. What if He hadn't endured to the end? What would have happened to us? I'd like to say a little bit about yielding. We read in Romans about, as we yielded ourselves servants to sin, now we're to yield ourselves servants to righteousness. That's over in chapter 6 of Romans. Yield. That's verse 13. And then again in verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Yield! Yield! Are we a yielded people? Are we a yielded company? Are we yielded saints, yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yield. You know how a witch doctor gets his power? By yielding to sin, yielding to evil. He has to give himself over to evil unreservedly. They tell him, if you want this power to be a witch doctor, the power of the devil, you go out and kill a man. You take the tendon from the back of his leg and you make an anklet out of it to wear. He gets that power. And that anklet is a symbol of that power. One day a missionary was preaching the gospel to a man like that. Two chiefs. Chiefs had to do that too, to be a chief. The gospel was being preached to two chiefs. And the urge was given, exhortation was given to accept Christ as Savior. Yield to Him. As you've been yielding yourselves to sin and Satan, now yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your Savior. Let His precious blood wash your sin away. And these two chiefs said they wanted to. So we were sitting there together. And when they said that they wanted to confess Christ, accept Him, I pointed to those anklets. What about them, I said. They knew what I meant. The one chief got his knife out, and in faith he cut it, because he'd been told if he cut it, curse would come upon him, but nothing happened to him. The other one tried it. He fainted away. He wasn't real. You get into situations like that, you find out whether your confession is real or not. Yield. They yielded to get the power of the devil. Let us yield to God. Yield our body. Yield our soul. Yield our spirit. Yield our whole being to God. Because when we were sinners, we yielded to sin. But now we've professed to yield unto righteousness. Let us be real in it. Yield to God. Give over everything to God. And the Spirit will begin to work with power in your life. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. The Ephesians were told, having believed, you received the Holy Spirit. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Every believer, every true believer has the Spirit of God in his heart. But have you yielded to Him? Have you let Him take control? be not drunk or full of wine or drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or under the control of the Spirit of God. This is what we need today. Sometimes we're afraid to say anything about it because of all the excesses about the Spirit that are around today and bad doctrines. But simply believing that God has given us His Holy Spirit because we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is simplicity, but that's reality. Let's yield to Him. Yield. Yield everything to Him. What is there to hang on to here? May God give me grace to yield. I need this all the time. Every one of us needs it all the time. And that's why this verse stays with me, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.